From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Miami Chief of Police John Timoney doesn't hold his tongue when Homeland Security is at stake. After the 9/11 attacks, he criticized the FBI before Congress, citing poor communication between federal agents and city police. Last June, his city made headlines when the Miami PD actually partnered with the FBI. Together, they arrested a ring of men alleged to be planning an attack on Chicago's Sears Tower. Chief Timoney says the Sears Tower sting proves times have changed.
There really has been a tremendous turnabout in the FBI under Bob Mueller, and so things are like night and day. Although, you know, they get criticized every once in a while. I think they're doing a pretty decent job compared to where it was, you know, prior to Bob taking over.
So what kind of communication are we talking about? Do you get briefings or do you, I mean, you yourself are chief of police in a city that,
correct,
you know, arrested a group of guys who were accused to be planning a huge terrorist attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for example, I co-chair along with, so I'm an equal partner, with the head of the FBI, John Solomon, in Miami, in the South Florida region. And so, for example, on that case, I was regularly briefed by the Joint Terrorism Task Force as it progressed. And, of course, initially, early on, my reaction, I guess, was similar to the FBI. It didn't look like there was going to be much to this. But as we took this case forward, it looked like while these fellows didn't have the wherewithal or the means to do a terroristic act, they clearly had the intent. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you have to take people at their word. And so the case went on for about a good 4 or 5 months and continued to get deeper and deeper. So the lines of communication between us and the FBI is completely different than it was 5 years ago.
You know, last year you announced an in-your-face tactic for combating terrorism. You got plainclothes policemen riding public transportation, officers handing out leaflets on being aware of terrorism, stopping suspicious-looking people.
Correct.
Has that worked, and how have people in Miami responded to the tactics?
Well, it's worked out very well. As a matter of fact, I will be testifying in a few days before Congressman Peter King's Committee on Homeland Security in Congress. But in a short sentence, what the Miami Shield is, a group of police officers, mostly in uniform, but some plain clothes, will just appear along with other police resources at the banking center, for example, along the Brickell Corridor. And they will do a variety of things. They will engage local residents or pedestrians in conversation. We have pamphlets that we hand out in three languages, English, Spanish, and Creole. But we'll also engage the building management in target hardening their premises and their businesses to make sure that everything's okay, and we give them pointers on what to look out for, how to report suspicious activity. So it's a program that's been very well received. People, particularly the business corridors, like to see the presence of uniformed officers, you know, going about the business of making sure that the pedestrians and the people that do business in the downtown area are protected.
Do you ever worry about crossing the line of civil liberties or even just the line of good policing? I think about London, where there was the horrible terrorist bombing, and then you had a Brazilian man shot who wasn't even involved in the attack.
Right.
How do you guard against something like that, a tragedy like that happening with your policing, or simply, you know, violating civil rights?
Well, we're very careful. And by the way, this is always a balancing act. It's a balancing act that we in the policing business and among the chiefs, we're very cognizant of this issue because clearly it's an issue that's out there. And so while we have an obligation to protect the citizens, we also have an obligation to make sure we don't willy-nilly violate people's rights. And so you've got to be real careful in that whole area. Regards to the London shooting, That was an awful situation. It's probably one of the reasons why myself and other chiefs of police have resisted the whole notion of training our officers on how to take out a suicide bomber. Our officers are trained to be defensive shooters, to seek cover, not to be overly aggressive. And in fact, in Miami, over the last 4 years, we have led the nation in the reduction of police shootings, almost nil in the city of Miami.
That is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you whether or not this came as a a part of your long experience in policing. I was in Philadelphia for the Republican convention in 2000, and you were chief of police.
Correct.
And there was a lot of criticism of the policing there because there were a lot of protesters. I certainly remember being on the sidewalk while there were protests in the street and, you know, mounted policemen on horses appearing to charge the protesters. How do you feel now about what happened then, and how does that influence how you police now?
Oh, by the way, I've policed literally hundreds of large demonstrations and events over my career, including the 1992 Democratic Convention in New York City, where I headed up that convention detail. And you always learn from your experiences. But I make no apologies for Philadelphia. Philadelphia, while there was some criticism from some folks, by and large, went without a hitch. There was not a protester seriously injured. There were about 26 police officers, including three that were seriously injured. And so while some cases may have been thrown out of court, the vast majority of those cases were pretty good. And I would match what we did in Philadelphia with really any of those other conventions. It really, by and large, went without a hitch. There were huge protests that went uneventful. Things didn't get out of hand till the last day of the convention, and that was clearly the intent of not of all the protesters, of some protesters, you know, bent on making hay, and there were quite a few police officers that were assaulted. Be that as it may, there were some complaints, but not from everybody.
You also used to be the deputy to Chief William Bratton when he was in New York. He plans to create a national anti-terrorism academy in Los Angeles for officers because he's now the chief of police in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Do you think this will be effective?
The FBI and other federal authorities have taken steps in that area. But I think what Bill's looking to do, and he's a good buddy of mine, he thinks there are special needs that a place like Los Angeles can set up this consortium to teach smaller police departments on how to do the terrorism business. Clearly, we're going to be in partners with the federal government, but there are kind of unique circumstances for local police and the role of local police in assisting the feds in this whole area. So, yeah, I hope it works. The only issue is when you're trying to do something nationwide, this is a huge country. And the travel often sometimes interferes.
Well, it's not only the travel. I also would think that there would be budget issues. You know, I mean.
Oh, clearly. My sense is that while L.A. will provide the instructors and get assistance in doing that, my sense is that the departments themselves, if you are going to send one or two representatives, as I have done, you've got to foot the bill.
Do you ever worry that police departments are doing too much? You know, you have people who are dealing with local crime.
Mm-hmm.
You now have people dealing with national and international terrorism.
Yeah.
You have some police officers even acting as social workers for people who may live on the streets. Do you worry that your officers are stretched too thin?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a concern. And so what I try and do is as much as possible, and I will be testifying to this, clearly there's a certain amount we can do, and then no more. If the threat from terrorism is coming from abroad, then I think at the local level, we really have to depend on units like the FBI to get the intelligence. The vast majority of police departments in America are small and wouldn't have the wherewithal, like, for example, the NYPD, to station, you know, police officers in different cities. We just can't do that. So we depend on the FBI to do that for us. But at the local level, you know, it is an added responsibility. And it is a drain on resources, but it's, you know, it's the sign of the times. And we do, in fact, get some assistance in the form of grants and some monies from the Department of Homeland Security. Would I prefer not to have it? The answer is yes, but it really is a sign of the times. And so you've got to do more with less. But I can't pour mouth the federal government. They actually have been very helpful.
This may sound like a strange question, and I guess it is, but I think about 9/11, but also about the potential of terrorist attacks and the idea of smuggling things into the United States, whether it's dirty bombs, weapons, and ports of entry have been such a hugely contested issue. Miami has a huge port. Miami also has, as so many big cities do, a drug smuggling problem. Do you worry that some of the same routes that are used to smuggle narcotics into the U.S. could be used under other circumstances to smuggle in terrorist weaponry?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I came down here from the Northeast, and I had never really been to Miami before. And the way you appreciate Miami and its vulnerabilities is not from the sea, but from the air. And when you're up there in a helicopter and you look around, you realize how vulnerable Miami is from the sea. There are so many tributaries and the Miami River running straight through the city. You know, you look down and it looks like there are millions of pleasure craft, all white. They all look alike. You couldn't tell if one was smuggling people or bombs. And so what we have done about a year after I got here has put together a comprehensive plan for the Miami River and for Biscayne Bay. And we have increased the number of officers and the number of boats that we put out on a daily basis just for that reason, because that's my bigger concern here is via sea as opposed to somebody coming in the Miami airport or coming in by car. I see a real vulnerability at the port, in Key Biscayne, at the Miami River. And so it's something, not only do we have officers, extra officers out in boats, in police boats, but also we have a closed circuit camera system along the Miami River.
Chief Timoney, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Take care.
John Timoney is Chief of Police in Miami.